Hello. This is the Healthy Living Podcast from OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Martha Attee. Today's topics include 10 nutrition myths experts wish would die, what are whole grains and how many should we eat, and information on plant milk. Today's program is being recorded on March 25, 2023. 10 Nutrition Myths Experts Wish Would Die. This is written by Sophie Egan. It is from the New York Times, dated January 19, 2023. We've asked 10 of the top nutrition experts in the United States a simple question. What is one nutrition myth you wish would go away, and why? Here's what they said. Myth number one, fresh fruits and vegetables are always healthier than canned, frozen, or dried varieties. Despite the enduring belief that fresh is best, research has found that frozen, canned, and dried fruits and vegetables can be just as nutritious as their fresh counterparts. Quote, they can also be a money saver and an easy way to make sure there is always fruits and vegetables available at home, said Sarah Blalsch, the outgoing director of Nutrition, Security, and Health Equity at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and she is a professor of public health policy at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. There was one caveat. Some canned, frozen, and dried varieties contain sneaky ingredients like added sugars, saturated fats, and sodium. So be sure to read nutrition labels and opt for products that keep those ingredients to a minimum. Myth number two. All fat is bad. When studies published in the late 1940s found correlation between high fat diets and high level of cholesterol, experts reasoned that if you reduce the amount of total fats in your diet, your risk for heart disease would go down. By the 1960s, doctors, federal health experts, and the food industry and the news media were reporting that a low-fat diet could benefit everyone, even though there was no solid evidence that doing so would prevent issues like heart disease or overweight and obesity. Dr. Vinjaya Surampudi, an assistant professor of medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles Center for Human Nutrition, said that as a result, the vilification of fats led many people and food manufacturers to replace calories from fat with calories from refined carbohydrates like white flour and added sugar. Remember the Snackwell's cookies? Quote, instead of helping the country stay slim, the rates of overweight and obesity went up significantly, she said. In reality, Dr. Surampudi added, not all fats are bad. While certain types of fat, including saturated and trans fats, can increase your risk for conditions like heart disease or stroke, healthy fats, like monounsaturated fats, found in olive oil and other plant oils, avocados and certain nuts and seeds, and polyunsaturated fats found in sunflower and other plant oils, walnuts, fish, and flax seeds. These fats actually help reduce your risk. Good fats are also important for supplying energy, producing important hormones, supporting cell function, and adding in the absorption of some nutrients. If you see a product labeled fat-free, don't automatically assume it is healthy. Instead, prioritize products with simple ingredients and no added sugars. Myth number 3. Calories in, calories out is the most important factor for long-term weight gain. It's true that if you consume more calories than you burn, you will probably gain weight. And if you burn more calories than you consume, you will probably lose weight, at least for the short term. But the research does not suggest that eating more will cause sustained weight gain that results in becoming overweight or obese. Dr. Dariush Mosafarian said, "Rather, it is the types of food we eat that may be the long-term drivers of those conditions." Dr. Mosafarian is a professor of nutrition and medicine at the Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, Policy at Tufts University. Ultra-processed foods such as refined starchy snacks, cereals, crackers, energy bars, baked goods, sodas, and sweets can be particularly harmful for weight gain, as they are rapidly digested and flood the bloodstream with glucose, fructose, and amino acids, which are converted to fat by the liver. Instead, what is needed for maintaining a healthy weight is a shift from counting calories to prioritizing healthy eating overall. In other words, quality over quantity. Myth number 4. People with type 2 diabetes shouldn't eat fruit. This myth stems from conflating fruit juices, which can raise blood sugar levels because of their high sugar and low fiber content, with whole fruits. But research has found that this isn't the case. Some studies show, for instance, that those who consume one serving of whole fruit per day, particularly the fruits blueberries, grapes, and apples, have lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And other research suggests that if you already have type 2 diabetes, eating whole fruits can help control your blood sugar. "It's time to bust this myth," said Dr. Linda Hsu, an internist and the director of culinary medicine and lifestyle medicine at Kaiser Permanente San Francisco, adding, "including those with type 2 diabetes can benefit from health-promoting nutrients in fruit like fiber, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants." Myth number 5. Plant milk is healthier than dairy milk. There's a perception that plant-based milks, such as those made from oats, almonds, rice, and hemp, are more nutritious than cow's milk. "It's just not true," said Kathleen Merrigan, professor of sustainable food systems at Arizona State University and a former U.S. Deputy Secretary of Agriculture. "Let's consider protein. Typically, cow's milk has about 8 grams of protein per cup, whereas almond milk typically has 1 or 2 grams per cup, and oat milk usually has 2 or 3 grams per cup. While the nutrition of plant-based beverages can vary, said Dr. Merrigan, "many have more added ingredients like sodium and added sugars, which can contribute to poor health." Myth number 6. White potatoes are bad for you. Potatoes have often been vilified in the nutrition community because of their high glycemic index, which means they contain rapidly digestible carbohydrates that can spike your blood sugar. However, potatoes can actually be beneficial for health, said Daphne Altima Johnson, a program officer of Food Communities and Public Health at the Johns Hopkins Center for Livable Future. They are rich in vitamin C, potassium, fiber, and other nutrients, especially when consumed with the skin. Potatoes are also inexpensive and found year-round in grocery stores, making them more accessible. Healthier preparation methods include baking potatoes, boiling potatoes, and air-frying potatoes. Myth number 7. You should never feed peanut products to your children within the first few years of life. For years, experts told new parents that the best way to prevent their children from developing food allergies was to avoid feeding them common allergenic foods like peanuts or eggs during their first few years of life. But now, allergy experts say it's better to introduce peanut products to your children early on. If your baby does not have severe eczema or a known food allergy, you can start introducing peanut products such as watered-down peanut butter, peanut puffs, or peanut powders, but you should not use whole peanuts. And you can start introducing that at around 4 to 6 months when your baby is ready for solids. Start with 2 teaspoons of smooth peanut butter mixed with water or breast milk or formula 2 to 3 times a week, said Dr. Ruchi Gupta, a professor of pediatrics and the director of the Center for Food Allergy and Asthma at Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine. If your baby has severe eczema, first ask your pediatrician or an allergist about starting peanut products around 4 months. It's also important to feed your baby a diverse diet in the first year of her life, to prevent food allergies. Myth number 8. The protein in plants is incomplete. Where do you get your protein is the number one question vegetarians get asked, said Christopher Gardner, a nutrition scientist and professor of medicine at Stanford University. The myth is that plants are completely missing some amino acids, also known as the building blocks of proteins. But in reality, all plant-based foods contain all 20 amino acids, including all 9 essential amino acids. The difference is that the proportion of these amino acids isn't as ideal as the proportion of amino acids in animal-based foods. So to get an adequate mix, you simply need to eat a variety of plant-based foods throughout the day, such as beans, grains, and nuts, and eat enough total protein. Luckily, most Americans get more than enough protein each day. It's easier than most people think, said Dr. Gardner. Myth number 9. Eating a soy-based foods can increase the risk of breast cancer. High doses of plant estrogens in soy, called isoflavones, have found to stimulate breast tumor cell growth in animal studies. However, this relationship has not been substantiated in human studies, said Dr. Frank Hugh, professor and chair at the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health. So far, the science does not indicate a link between soy intake and breast cancer risks in humans. Instead, consuming soy-based foods and drinks like tofu, tempeh, edamame, miso, and soy milk may even have protective effect towards breast cancer risk and survival. Soy foods are also a powerhouse of beneficial nutrients related to reduced heart disease risk, such as high-quality protein, fiber, vitamins, and minerals. The research is clear. Feel confident incorporating soy foods into your diet. Myth number 10. Fundamental nutrition advice keeps changing a lot. This is just not the case, said Dr. Marianne Nestle, a professor emerita of nutrition and food studies at New York University. In the 1950s, the first dietary recommendations for prevention of obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and the like advised balancing calories and minimizing foods in high saturated fat, salt, and sugar. The current U.S. dietary guidelines urge the same. Yes, science evolves, but the bottom line dietary guidance remains consistent. It can be summed up in 7 simple words. Eat food. Not too much. Mostly plants. That advice worked 70 years ago, and it still works today, and it leaves plenty room for eating foods that you love. Our next article, also from the New York Times, is titled, What Are Whole Grains Anyway? This was updated March 9, 2023, originally published December 3, 2022. If you were asked to explain the difference between terms like whole grain, multigrain, and whole wheat, would you be able to? If not, you are not alone. A new study published November 30th in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that between 2003 and 2018, adults in the United States consumed more whole grains than ever before. But exactly how much more they consumed was tricky to determine. Various institutions like the Food and Drug Administration, American Heart Association, and industry groups like the Whole Grains Council have different criteria for which foods qualify. And that lack of standard definition, along with puzzling label on food packaging, makes it challenging for people to assess their consumption accurately. One thing that researchers were clear on was that despite the boost in whole grain consumption, which ranged from 40 to 62%, depending on which definition the researchers used, most adults were still not getting enough whole grains in their diets. A grain is considered to be whole when it contains all three parts of the original kernel, the bran, the endosperm, and the germ. Bran is the fiber-filled outer layer of a grain kernel that is full of B vitamins and minerals. The endosperm is a starchy carbohydrate middle layer with some proteins and vitamins. And the germ is a nutrient-packed core of vitamins, healthy fats, and other beneficial compounds. Barley, brown rice, millet, oatmeal, wheat, rye, corn, and spelt are all common whole grains. Quinoa and buckwheat are technically seeds but are often classified as whole grains in diet. Whole wheat, including whole wheat flour, counts as a whole grain because it contains the three components. White flour doesn't count because it's milled in a way that removes the wheat and the wheat bran and germ. Whatever the source, whole grains are important to include in your diet because they tend to be really nutrient and fiber rich. High-fiber diets have been associated with a range of health benefits, including regulated cholesterol and blood sugar levels, and improved digestion. Depending on the type of grains that you're consuming, they can be a fantastic source of vitamin B vitamins, as well as essential amino acids like methionine and phenylalanine. According to Dietary Guidelines for America, at least half of the total grains you consume each day, which comes to at least 3 servings, should be 100% whole grain. A slice of whole wheat bread, a half cup of cooked oatmeal, and 3 cups of popped popcorn in combination would satisfy the daily requirement. One study that surveyed nearly 40,000 adults found that most people consume 25 to 40% of those daily recommended amounts. Tracking your consumption of whole grains can be confusing, because food labeled whole grain are not required to be 100% whole grain. They also don't have to disclose how many whole grains they provide per serving. The same is true for the term wheat. You can be sure such a product contains at least some wheat, but not how much. And then the term multigrain just means a food item was made with two or more kinds of grains, but not necessarily whole grains. Unfortunately, the front of a food package is basically a marketing tool. Anyone can include the words whole grain on their food packaging without the food having to adhere to strict standards. Even foods with insignificant amount of whole grains can still bear the label. One exception is a product with the whole grain stamp issued by the Whole Grains Council. One serving of any food item bearing the stamp will contain at least 8 grams, or half a serving, of whole grains. If the item's packaging has the 100% stamp, all of its grain ingredients are guaranteed to be whole grain, and it must contain at least 16 grams, or one serving, of whole grains per the serving of the food. How to get more whole grains in your diet? When in doubt, go for the pure grain. The easiest way to be 100% sure that what you're eating is whole grain is to purchase something that contains a whole grain as the only ingredient, like a bag of oats or brown rice. Prioritize high fiber foods. When comparing foods with whole grain, always choose the label with the highest amount of fiber. A high fiber count is a good sign that the food has a fair amount of whole grains. And pay attention to the ingredient order. For food items with a variety of ingredients, look for whole grains at the top of the ingredients list. If the first few ingredients contain words like 100% whole grain, whole wheat flour, or 100% whole wheat flour, that's a good sign that you're picking the healthier choice. To work more whole grains into your diet, start slow and mix things up. If you're not used to eating whole grains, start with more approachable ones like oats or corn. If certain grains don't fit with your food culture, that's okay. Find what works for you. If you ever start to get bored with the grains on your plate, mix things up. If you're sick of brown rice, try wild rice, or swap your whole wheat bread for a whole rye loaf. Variation can keep things interesting and make it more likely that you'll meet your daily whole grain goals. And now we'll go to an article from the Nutrition Action newsletter, from their newsletter of April 2023, titled "Don't Have a Cow." Here's some information on plant milks. Many people are thinking of dumping dairy. For them, the payoff is that plant milks have a lighter impact on our overheating planet. And there are more options than ever. Just choose carefully, and you can still net as much of milks, of regular milks, key nutrients, plus some healthy fats. This article that I'm going to read rates the different plant-based milks. And they have certain things that they want to say before they will go through the list. Skip coconut milk and its saturated fat. A cup of most coconut milks has 4 to 5 grams of saturated fat. That's 20 to 25% of a day's worth. Nearly all other plant milks get their fats from nuts, seeds, soy, or oils like sunflower. So it's easier to limit saturated fat to 1.5 grams or less. You might want a plant milk with vitamin B12. This matters most if you're over 50 or if you're eating vegan and not already taking a multivitamin. cut the sugar with an unsweet or original milk. Unsweet means zero added sugar, but many original milks don't go much higher. And look for calcium and vitamin D in milks. At least 300 milligrams of calcium and 2.5 micrograms, which is 100 units, of vitamin D per 8 ounces. Does the protein in plant milk matter? Not for the average adult who consumes well over the daily 50 grams of protein. But if you eat mostly plants, you may want a decent dose of protein in your milk. So at least pick one that has 7 grams per cup. And that's typical for soy milk and on par with dairy milk's 8 grams. Avoid rice milk. Rice soaks up arsenic from the soil and water more readily than other grains do. The heavy metal is a human carcinogen and can impair learning in children. There are plenty other of milks to choose from. For a potassium bonus, choose soy, pea, or oat milk. Many have enough naturally occurring or added potassium to mimic what's in dairy milk. But you won't find much potassium in milks made from nuts or hemp seeds. And another perk for soy milks are that they are a good source of magnesium. And one more thing to add, the carrageenan-free claims on some of the milk. Most big brands have already replaced the controversial thickener. And I'm not sure if it's pronounced carrageum or carrageum. It's spelled carrageenan. But it may be linked to cancer, and there's safer gums like gelin and xanthine or locust bean gum. So you don't need to avoid those gums by buying a no gums or emulsifiers milk. You can get more information on these thickeners by going to chemicalcuisine.org. And now I'll go through the list of their best plant-based milk, starting with soy, the brand 365 Organic Unsweetened Original Soy Milk, and you can get that at Whole Foods, is one of their high-listed, along with the brand Silk Organic Unsweet, the one that is shelf-stable, or Silk Organic Unsweet, the one that is refrigerated. If you're looking for plant milk made of pea, the pea brands are Ripple Unsweetened Original, Califia Protein Oat Milk, which must have some pea in it, and Silk Protein Original. Oat milk, they go with number one choice, Silk brand Unsweet Oat Milk. But they also give a good rating to plant oat unsweetened milk. For almond milk, there is Almond Breeze Banana is one of their top lists, and Almond Breeze Unsweetened, original or vanilla flavored. If you're looking for cashew, hemp, or rice milk, Tempt Hemp Unsweetened Coconut, which they said to try to avoid, is one of their better listing, and then Silk Unsweet Cashew did also get a good rating. We've come to the end of the Healthy Living Podcast. I am Martha Atti. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or comments about the program, please call us at AL Radio at 210-829-4223. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening.